B-Pod Studios.
Ted. We're coming back home to Boston. You know, it's our second home here. And the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but we, our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers, and so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
As if that game isn't already hyped enough, and 5 months out, which is what we are, 4.5 months from the effing game, like there isn't enough still to talk about and chew on. Here comes the old man over the top rope the day after the game's announced to say, yeah, we expect to beat you quite handily, frankly. That is just too much. Tom Brady Sr. this morning calls Zoe and Beetle with Hardy. He calls them. It wasn't an interview request. He called them cold. And again, Brad Stevens was on. They were doing the regularly scheduled thing with Brad Stevens, and Tom Brady Sr. calls. The guy behind the glass says, I have to call back. They're busy.
That's the best part of the whole thing.
And he called back.
Letting you know I got things to say.
Just to say, yeah, looking forward to this game so we can be 4-0. And it was just, they didn't even really ask him about this stuff. It was all pleasantries. The first 2 minutes were hysterical because it was just pleasantries. How you doing? Oh, we're doing great. Looking forward to this
season. I believe we were speaking with Tom Brady.
So hold on. Now Jimmy's going to roll the whole thing in. This is so you know what it is and just jump in and play it. Here's the first 2 minutes of the thing in its entirety with Hardy starting the conversation. Go.
I thought your setup was impeccable.
No, it wasn't. You did some more right in the
I believe we were speaking with Tom Brady in California.
Tom Brady Sr.
Sr. It's Hardy and Scott Zolak, Tim McCone here on Zolak and Bertrand. Mr. Brady, how are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you guys doing?
Hey, it is you. I was going to say, when's your son's birthday? But it is you. Where you been, buddy?
We're doing great. Everything could be better. Life is good. We're just enjoying the off season and can't wait to have September roll around and be ready for another Super Bowl run.
I appreciate so the first Q&A is how you doing? Great. Can't wait for the season to go on another Super Bowl run. I mean, when I was listening to this live, as I usually do, I'm a P1 to Beetle, and so I'm listening. I'm like, oh, here we go. I was like, oh, that was. I was like, Mr. Brady. There you go, right out of the chute. I knew we were on to something. Go on, Jimmy. I'm sorry. Please.
Have September roll around and be ready for another Super Bowl run.
Now, I appreciate the call here, Mr. Brady, but I've talked multiple times with Tom trying to get you on my show, and he said, Zoe, I'm not putting down on it. So is he going to be angry? Is he going to be angry I have you on today?
I don't think so.
Attaboy.
I don't think so. I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game.
So stop. It's like right in the middle of the pleasantries. I just saw the schedule. We started salivating. We come up here and be 4-0. It's like, oh, man. Priceless.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
Next one, keep going.
I mean, Brady, go ahead. Sorry. I probably screwed up the computer.
No,
again,
now we
Jimmy.
Got it. Yeah, no,
sorry.
It's a stop and start.
Coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So wow. It's a pretty fun time.
Wow. So, I mean, hey, you got Cowboys on that opening night, and then I think it's Atlanta. Then you got a tough West Coast trip against the Rams.
Win.
That's going to be a short week for your guy there to get ready. But you still think it's 4-0 coming out of the gate?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'd be – yeah, I actually – you know, they're all tough.
Yeah.
You look at them, and there are no walkovers. But – you know, coming back home to Boston, you know, it's our second home here. And the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but we, our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
So that's the best, because he just got through saying, well, you know, there are no walkovers in this league. Everyone's a hard game. But we expect to come up to New England and beat the Patriots handily, quite frankly.
That team was 7-9 last year. You don't have a quarterback, and they stink. By the way, he's being way too diplomatic there, too. Like, oh, they're our second favorite team.
He tried to cover it.
There's also we get to, you know, root for the Bucs and against the Patriots. Well, not against anybody. Right? And there's no walkovers in this league, but we do expect to beat the Patriots handily.
I'll be honest with you, too. Early on, where he starts talking about the schedule, he says, well, you know, I think and then he caught himself. I think he was going to say, we think we're going undefeated. I'm not kidding. I think he was going to say that. And the other thing is, he says, well, you know, we made a second home here. I think he's in town. Hardy introduced the interview by saying in California. I think he's here. He's probably visiting his daughter.
Yeah, I got the impression. It sounds like he, just on how he was saying it, like back in Boston, that part, I feel like he's here.
Yeah, he said again, we've made a second home here.
Yeah.
Either way.
I just think he's here. He's in town.
And maybe the in town part just gives him a little bit more juice to be, you know, everyone's talking about the game. We're already hyping the game. Everyone's talking about the game, and he can't help himself. Can't help himself. But, hey, how's everybody doing? We're great. Never better. Looking for another Super Bowl run. And yeah, so, you know, I just heard, you know, Tom Senior, surprised to hear from you. Well, you know, his schedule came out. We immediately started salivating because we think we're going to come up there and beat you handily, quite frankly. And it's just so good. So good. And it is insight. I said before, Brady is one cocky son of a gun. And he doesn't let it out often, before the game anyway. But that's how he thinks. That's how they think. And once again, Brady Sr. lets the cat out of the bag. What's so funny, Murray?
Hey, he essentially called into Zoe and Beetle today to do his own schedule day bit. You know, like first 4 weeks, win. Week four, New England, win.
No, really, that's what it was. Yeah, you go out to San Diego, you win.
Yeah. What about that one, L.A., short week, win.
Yeah.
Then you got to come here to New England, win.
week two's Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a blowout.
Tom also going to get the passing record, win.
Oh, God, cherry on top. Yeah. Oh, I think it's just priceless. I think it was just, listen to the whole thing, 98.5thesportshub.com.
As if this game needed any more hype.
I mean,
we're months away from it. Have you seen what the secondary markets, what the prices are for terrible tickets? They're like $1,400 up in the 300s.
I saw that, $1,500 a whack.
Meanwhile, the schedule's not 24 hours old, and the old man, 3A Jimmy, comes and says, you know, we're going to kill you.
So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
It's like I just can't get enough of that. So, all right, we're weighing in on that. We started with
September roll around and be ready for another Super Bowl run.
Okay, I started with the Bruins Capitals. We can get back to that. All the Ainge stuff on the Celtics. And, of course, this, which is quite delicious, I should say. Let's go by John and Randolph. Go ahead, John. John and Randolph, are you there? Okay, you can call us back. You know the number. Mike in Nashua. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, so I agree with you, Mike, that the Patriots can still win games with Cam Newton. But if they don't address the quarterback, it doesn't feel like there's a long-term plan. But my take was, do you think Belichick's focusing on Shula's record and he just wants to pile up wins? That's
no. Well, his first focus? So, I mean, if that's the case, he's going to play who's ever better. And if Mac Jones is better, he'll do it to catch Shula. I think those things collide. In other words, I think he's going to make it hard on the rookie. He's going to set the bar high for the rookie. You know, he's not going to put it to his credit. He's not going to put anyone on the field, especially at that position, unless they're ready, have command of the offense, can lead the team, all these things. And if you're a 22-year-old first-round pick at quarterback, I think he's going to make you prove that.
Times 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that's his MO.
And so, of course, he wants to win. Of course, he wants to catch Shula. But he's not gonna play Mac Jones until he's ready. And I don't care what your record is. I don't care if you're 1-8. And this was, again, we mentioned this all day yesterday, Maz. He proved that last year.
Correct.
They could not have sucked any worse than they did in the passing game last year. And he wouldn't give Jared Stidham the time of day because he doesn't think Jared Stidham's ready. And I don't care where Mac Jones was drafted. It's gonna be the same thing this year. If Mac Jones isn't ready and it doesn't check all those boxes, he's not gonna change quarterbacks no matter what your record is.
Yeah, my only hope is that Jones is ready. And when I say ready, I don't mean week one. I think that's delusional. But that at some point during the season, Jones is ready and he's better than Newton. Because frankly, I don't think that that's going to take a lot.
Okay, so look, and now if Mac Jones is ready, here's a second layer to it. If Mac Jones is ready and he has command and he's checked all the boxes and Bill feels comfortable putting him on the field, what if the team's 6-2? Is he going to do Cam Newton like that? Bench him when he's winning? That's another hurdle I think we're going to have to get over. I don't know if Bill will do that.
Well, so, you know, the other variable in this is in this that we shouldn't rule out. You think Cam Newton's going to make it through healthy?
Okay, well, that's different.
I'm just saying it's a variable.
Well, then there's no discussion. He's hurt. The next guy goes in. Like, we've lost our topic.
But I think there's a chance that Jones would get in then. And then what if Jones wins?
Okay, well, then that it's over.
Yeah.
Like, then it's decided for. If it's decided for Bill, then the conversation's moot. But if he has to make his, if Bill has to make up his mind, then I'm worried that he's going to set the bar too high for Jones to get on the field, and he's not going to pull out Cam Newton if they're winning. And you've got to navigate that. If Newton gets hurt, it's decided for all of us. And not that we're rooting for that. We continue with your calls on this and anything else here on Felger and Mazz.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, schedule day. Oh, schedule day. Where fans get to pick wins and losses.
It's here, bro. The Pat schedule's here, and we can start planning our tailgating parties.
Yeah, I got my Fauci ouchie, and I'm vaxxed and ready to go back. I can't wait to cheer on the Pats at Gillette again and hear an Aussie blaring in the stadium.
I'm going to lose it when I crack my first Bud Light up in 321, kid.
I'm getting choked up just thinking about it.
Week one, at home, Dolphins.
Wait, you mean just like last year with Cam Newton again? I don't want to relive last year, bro. I can't do it.
Don't worry about it. He'll be gone. We're going to get the Big Mac attack sooner than later.
Win.
Week two, at the New York Jets.
Win.
Week three, at home, New Orleans Saints.
Brees is retired. Winston's a loser. And Taysom Hill is just promiscuous Tebow. Win.
Oh, my God. Here it is. The return of the GOAT. Brady's back. Bucks. Sunday nighter. Week four.
I don't know how I'm going to feel about this. Seeing him in that stupid uniform on TV is one thing. Seeing him in it live is just another. Do I boo or do I cheer? I just know I better not see that loser Big Jim Murray all dressed up like a stupid creamsicle.
Yeah, I hate that fraud.
And a turncoat. He can't ever cheer for the Pats again.
Loss. Week five at Houston.
Win.
Week six, back home against the Cowboys.
I bet this is where we first see Mac Jones. I need the Big Mac attack, and I need him against the Big D.
Two all beef, touchdown special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Big Mac.
Win.
Week seven, another home game, the stupid Jets again.
Win.
That's a yearly tradition here on Felger and Mazz. Second half of the season coming your way tomorrow on Agenda Free Friday. Meanwhile, back to your phones. Tim and Marble, what happens when Brady sets the passing record at Gillette?
Well, when the game gets to the fourth quarter, Tom's going to break the record, throwing a touchdown pass to Gronk in the corner. So Patriots won't have to worry about stopping the game because they'll break the game on the record on the game-winning pass. Thanks.
Okay. Another little cherry on top. We forgot about the whole Gronkowski thing. Really a sidebar.
Yeah, the better record in the game in the past. All right. Well, what'd you expect?
Tom and Quincy, go.
See?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I heard the Tom Senior talk this morning, and I've been listening to all the bits and pieces through the afternoon. I find it funny that he's like, yeah, I just kind of stumbled across the schedule. Like, okay, dude. Dude, he knew damn well when the schedule was coming out, and he knew the week like everyone else did that they'd be playing week four. He just knew that he could call because he got Zoe, and I listened to it, and during the show, right after they had the segment, Brady tweeted to Zoe, and Zoe read the tweet from Brady. So all what, I know is...
What did the tweet say?
He said that he goes, hey, your dad just called. You know, I'm so sensitive to that. And he goes, are you serious? So he, because he never puts his dad on anything. So he did this totally unannounced.
Yeah.
And I love that the whole time where he's, well, we are going to do this and we, because he's part of the team now. So I found it funny, though, because if you guys talk about people getting bleh, he's Tom Senior setting him up for himself for the biggest bleh in the history of bleh. Because if Tampa doesn't win that game, he is going to have the wrath of the Patriots faithful attacking him on every platform there is.
Absolutely, Tom. I mean, this is why Brady doesn't do it. It's why you're taught here never to do this. And the Bradys get the hell out of here. The first matchup, they have a chance to play you in a game like this. They go there. They do that. Yeah, we're going to go up there and win quite handily, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, talk about...
Oh, listen, it's so unpatriot-like to do it this way. So unpatriot-like. The old man calls, taunts him, says, yeah, by the way, we won our seventh last year. We're going to come up there and kick your ass.
But you know so much of this is coming from the mouth of the Suns. So what's he expect?
Well, they think the same way.
Oh my gosh.
Look, I don't think Brady would have sanctioned this. I mean...
No way. No,
this is now one of a few calls that he's made where I'm sure Brady is like, oh my God, what is
no
he doing?
No way he sanctioned it. No way.
Brady doesn't want to poke the bear. Brady wants to win. He cares. He feels this way, but he doesn't want to give Bill any extra juice or the Patriots any extra motivation. Like that's sort of, I still think Brady would handle it that way.
In some ways, it's perfect for Brady because he just blames his old man. But at the end of the day, he still gets the message out.
But it's how Brady feels. And you know Brady does the old Fitz and Sully. Well, that's a win. That's a loss thing. Because we saw it in that in the Facebook special where he, after one of those Patriots losses, he's going, well, we got Atlanta. That's going to be a win. And then we got Carolina. We'll win that one.
And we have the bye. We'll
and then
be
we got
six
the
and
bye.
Two.
We'll be 6-2. And so we'll be okay. So you know the Bradys do it. But, I mean... They don't do it the day after the schedule, calling up a sports radio station in the opposing city to say, yeah, we're going to come there and win quite handily, frankly. That's not exactly what...
It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, the last time something like this happened, it was Shannon Sharp picking up the phone on the sideline. Somebody called the National Guard because we are killing the Patriots.
Oh, tremendous.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Pat in the tunnel has a Celtics thought. Hi, Pat.
Yeah, hi, Felga. I don't think it's ever become more apparent to me that Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart think that, you know, they're Rottweilers when they're actually just neutered Chihuahuas. And the reality is the Celtics got to trade out these guys and get themselves some pounders.
But that is just the oddest round of crank calls I've ever heard.
Is that the same guy or is it just a bunch of guys?
I don't know if it's different guys now.
I think it might be different guys. I don't know. I mean, are they awaking a sleeper cell? Like, I don't get the bit. Like,
me neither.
So it's a coordinated effort.
Yeah.
I mean, is that like, you know, Baba Booey or hit him with the high?
Yeah, I'm usually up on all this kind of thing. I don't know what pounders is.
I don't know. I got to look that up. I have an idea, though.
I mean, I kind of like it. Go ahead. Go nuts if that's what it does for you. But Paul in West Roxbury on the Celts. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Listen, the Celts are at a crossroads right now, and it's because of Carmelo Tatum. You're going to be the Knicks if you don't get rid of this kid. Top 10 basketball player in the world, just like Carmelo was in New York. The Knicks won 0. How many times did they qualify for the playoffs? How many series did they win? How many games did they win? Zero from zero is zero. Start over. This kid's a loser. He's killing you.
Okay.
And he's going to kill you for 10 more years if you let him.
Thanks, Paul. Carmelo Tatum, is that fair?
Not yet. I mean, this kid's a better shooter than Carmelo was. Carmelo, to me, was a guy who would brick it up 40 times.
Just the principle. He's just a scorer. He'll never make the people around him better, and he'll never win.
Okay, so I do worry about that. Yeah, absolutely. But I think Tatum has the capacity to be more. Does he have the will to be more? I don't know. I mean, I'm worried about that, too. The guys who just score, in all honesty, in a lot of ways, they just piss me off. Like, I can't tell you how many guys over the course of the history of the league I've seen who can score just by volume. Not that Tatum is pure volume, but the game is about so much more than that. If that's all you want to be is a scorer, well, then go do it for some suckbag team. You can go play in Sacramento and average 28 a night and be the next DeMarcus Cousins. Great. Have a blast. If you're not going to win, what's the point?
Here's Alan Everett. Unfortunately, not a prank call. It's going to be real. Something about Parcells. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, Felga, Tony, it is hysterical. Let me tell you, I don't know what's going on, but if you need any more proof of how much Brady can't stand his former coach and that whole family, and for his father to come on and say that, they're gonna that game is gonna be get your bets in now. Brady is gonna annihilate Bill Belichick in that game. It's gonna be hysterical. I couldn't stop laughing every time he played. I can't stop laughing. They from going back 7 years ago when he tried to dump him like yesterday's trash. You don't think that bothered Brady since that day?
Of course,
and the way he's treated him ever since.
Al, and you know what's amazing? Like, I mean, it's so parent, right? Like you as a parent, you assume the battle for your kid and you take it even a step further because it even makes you more angry than your kid. And the coach does something to your kid and that becomes your enemy. Like, that's just the oldest thing in the book, right? And that's happened to everyone. It's what the Bradys do to Lloyd Carr at Michigan, who didn't fully understand what he had in Tom Brady. They recruit Drew Henson, this hotshot recruit, and Lloyd Carr, you know, would platoon the guys or play Henson over Brady. And so Lloyd Carr is mud to the Bradys, you know, is to this day. They think of Belichick the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Which is unbelievable after 6 championships, 9 trips to the game, the greatest career in tandem in the history of the sport. They probably look upon Bill as they do Lloyd effing Carr.
Oh, yeah. No. It's like, if you saw that Drew Bledsoe thing, that the Brady parents are not like Bledsoe's mother.
Bingo. And if Galen saw Bill crossing the street, she might want to run him over.
Yep, just like Mrs. Bledsoe.
Right.
Totally. Because Mac's wife.
I mean, both of them ultimately gave up on him, though. And it's far more offensive with Belichick after all the success here that at the end he was ready to push him out and ready to move on.
I mean, if you think about it on some level, it's like, oh, would you grow up already? But on the other, it's what makes him who he is.
I mean,
he's a psycho.
Of all the clips, of all the little jabs, I just think the first one, you know, right out of the chute, how you doing, Tom Senior? Number one, Jimmy. And he says this. I thought this was like the worst, honestly. If you could, please, number
one. Life is good. We're just enjoying the off season and can't wait to have September roll around and be ready for another Super Bowl run.
Yes, that's another year, another Super Bowl run. How are you guys doing, by the way? What'd you finish last year?
7-9.
Yeah, who's your quarterback again?
It's just so, like, that's exactly what he's doing. I know, surprised to hear from you, Tom. Yeah, just driving around, saw the schedule come out last night. Just, you know, life's good, never been better. Just looking for another Super Bowl, you know, ho-hum.
Oh, that's an old man Brady blah. Is what I love the way Tom and Quincy said blah. However he said, he just clearly got to work on his blah.
One more segment of your wonderful phone calls, whatever you want. Bruins, Celtics, and Angels comments. Tom Brady Sr., showing you his ass this morning. That's on the table. The schedule, 617-779-0985, to you right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It almost seems like he's maybe even happier now in Tampa than he was, say, a couple of years ago in Boston. Do you get that sense?
I think I think he's in a pretty good place because they just won the Super Bowl. So I'm not sure that he had a happy 20 years here. You know, he has met his wife, raised his family, and had great success with the Patriots. I know that last month it was 85 degrees or so in Tampa as opposed to 45 degrees in New England. And we still love New England. Our daughter and her family is here. And the fact that he won the Super Bowl has a lot to do, I think, with this happiness. I think it's also, you know, it's just a whole different culture, different. How do you do anything but appreciate everything that the Crafts have done for him and Belichick's done for him, the coaching staff. And these guys they've been in the trenches for 20 years together. So I while he's happy now, I think he's starting to realize that the end of the career is coming to an end, and he's just savoring every moment as he walks down the final stretches, whether it's next 1 year, 2 years, or 12 years.
12 years, wow.
So he did mention all Belichick has done for him. He did, Maz, so give him that. So again, catch that full interview at 985thesportshub.com. Tom Brady Sr. in DeBeetle and Zolak this morning.
Just quickly, as you say it, this is popping into my head. This was towards the end of the interview, right?
I think
when
so.
He said Belichick?
Yeah.
Maybe Brady texted him.
Oh, jeez, Maz.
No, I'm serious.
You don't think he just thought to do the right thing for
maybe.
A second?
No, he might have. I mean, I don't rule that out. Or maybe Brady caught wind of the fact that his old man was on the radio and texted old man and said, what are you doing?
So, I mean, I look.
I don't know. Well, how old is he?
I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, but he's my dad's age. My dad wouldn't know how to be on the phone and look at a text
exactly.
at the same time without hanging up on you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, something tells me Brady's dad might be a little more tech savvy.
No,
you're just going to have to give in for 1 second that Tom Brady Sr. gave a nod to Bill Belichick, and that just happened. It just happened. Let's not explain it away.
Yeah,
it happened.
Maybe he caught himself.
He did the right thing for a second, and maybe he just... I'm not telling you that the Bradys like Bill Belichick. I know they don't, but...
Again, he called to say, I'm coming to kick your ass. I'm coming to kick your ass. Months and months away from the game. But clearly, there's no love lost.
But he knows that if he goes on and on about everything the Crafts did for Tommy and everything New England did for Tommy and doesn't mention Belichick, that's going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts Belichick's name in there just to quell the dogs, you know, quiet the dogs there. And he just did the right thing in the moment. Just give it to him.
Okay.
I said, Brady did not text him. He said, mention Bill.
No, I don't mean that he texted him to say mention Bill. I think that he might have texted him to say, what the hell are you doing? And then he probably realized he didn't even mention Belichick, so he went out of his way to... Look, I'm not telling you I know it. I'm just telling you I'm guessing.
Back to your thoughts.
Why did he call the show at all?
Because he wanted you to just get a little sniff of his tookus. He wanted a little bit of a... How does our ass taste, New England and Bill? Here's Steve in Portland. Go ahead, Steve.
I thought it was funny. Brady has a tweet up. He's looking up at the six banners. Then, of course, he has five rings on one hand, two rings on the other. So seven total. And hey, one more thing. The funny thing about his father, he actually called back. And he in turn was like, no, we're interviewing the coach that may not be there next year. But
no, this
that's
is...
a riot that he called back again.
Well, he was so horny to get on here and tell you he was going to come up here and beat you handily. Again, when he originally called, they had Stevens on. And I forget who was behind the glass. I'm sorry. The call screener said, we're busy. Can you call us back?
It's the best part of the story.
And he called him back. And he called him back just to say, yeah, I think we're going to beat you rather handily, frankly.
It's the phone equivalent of, who was the dude, Lee? Lee Dickman.
At the front desk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With John Henry.
John Henry walked through the front door and said, I want to go on the radio. And Dickman said to him, don't we all?
Yes. Hey, so what station do you want to be? What station do you want to be on? There's five of them in the building, and who are you? And the guy says, well, I'm John Henry. And Dickman says, and I'm Lee Dickman. What station do you want to be on? Even though he told him his name, he didn't know who it was.
Yeah, he was the office manager, as we'd like to call him, Lee. Good guy.
No, that was his actual name. It was Lee Dickman, if you think we're making that up. That was
good answer, too, by the way. Yeah, I want to be on the radio. Yep, don't we all? That is so good.
Oh, but that answer, to Bracey, you know, Zoe says, well, you really think you're going to be 4-0? And he says, well, you know, every game is so tough, and you really can't say that, but... We do expect to come up and beat the Patriots rather handily.
Frankly.
That's the best part. Right after he got through saying there's no givens in this league. Ryan and Bill Ricka. Hi, Ryan.
What's up, boys? This right here, this is one swift kick in the jimmy, okay? Because he just called and said that he's going to kick your ass. And when he does it, they're going to kick our ass single-handedly. So, I mean, you know Bill's not going to do anything about it. He's just going to smirk and just, you know, not say anything about it, you know? And we're going to get our ass kicked.
Yeah, I'm
thinking he's going to be extra salty leading into that week. Do you put any more emphasis on this game?
Well, oh, he's going to hate it. Bill, did you hear Tom Brady's father by any chance last month?
So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
I don't really listen to this.
Well, you had these freaking Zoom calls. You know, Bill has yet to be asked, did you watch the Super Bowl last year? How'd you feel about when your former players winning the championship?
Oh, yeah, no, it'll come up before week four.
Yeah, I mean, when is that going to come up?
Yeah, and then he'll say, well, you know, we're on 2021. Sorry. We have a break.
Well, can't we now put an end to the Zoom thing? The CDC did ease the mask guidelines. Can't you get people back in the building
now? Can we get Byron Barnett down there? He'll ask all the questions.
Yeah, Bill won't answer it.
We'll send Dickman. Mark in Derry, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time caller, long time listener. I love the show. I just wanted to go back to the guy on the Celtics who was saying about Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart that they're chihuahuas, I think he said.
Yeah, something like that.
Jaylen Brown has been in the conversation for most improved player the past 2 years, in my opinion. That guy is a dog. And Marcus Smart on the defensive end, yeah, he jacks up some shots every once in a while. But, again, he is a dog on the defensive end. So for that dude to say, I think that was a pretty dumb thing to say. But love the show. Just wanted to throw that out
okay,
there.
Okay, babe, I disagree with you. I don't know if Jaylen Brown's a dog. I don't know if he is.
He did improve offensively this year.
Okay, but that's not...
But yeah, no, a dog where his heart is? Yeah, I don't
right.
know. Right.
Yeah. You know, did he improve? Yes, yeah, of course. Sure, he improved. Yes. Yes. It seems like a smart guy. There's a lot of good things about him. Is he hyper-competitive? I don't know that.
He was at one point when he first came into the league. He was a grinding defender. Like, his first year in the league, they had him defending LeBron.
Right.
And he did well against LeBron. Where is that defense? Where is that perimeter defense now? No, it's all about the offensive numbers. So, I can be an all-star and go to Atlanta.
That's it. Something like that. Definitely.
God, that's annoying.
Definitely.
I think it's the whole team.
And,
man.
Oh, by the way, he could have played through this ligament thing and he shut it down.
Stu, you should be taking it.
They were number one in perimeter defense last year. This year, they're 20th. That sucks.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. But you, of all people, should be taking a victory lap today. Because didn't you say in January, or whatever the hell it was, they're going to be a seventh seed?
Why I said before the season began that this was a seventh seed. They were the Timberwolves.
And you did. So why didn't you go grab that clip, man?
I'm good.
Jimmy's humble.
No, grab it.
Grab it. Grab it and play with it, man. Grab it and slap it on the table. Let's give it a grab. Are you kidding me?
I hate being right about this kind of stuff. I hated being right about Kyrie Irving leaving a year before everybody else, and everybody's, oh, Kyrie said that he's coming back. He was lying, and I was proven right.
Oh, I know, you know, it must really suck.
Yeah, it hates being right. That's the only part that was such bull crap.
I'd make shirts.
Seriously. Yeah. I'd call a radio station and say, how does my ass taste? Jeff in the car. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, everyone loves being right. So, next question is, sorry.
Huh? What? Okay, there's nothing there.
I thought he said freaking.
Yeah.
There's something I wanted to bring up. When you mentioned before about if Newton gets hurt, the story's moot, we sort of lose the topic. And the email points it out, and I should have pointed it out at the time. Not if Jared Stidham goes in. Because would that surprise you one bit? If Mac Jones is not only not the starter in week one, that he's behind Stidham?
No. Wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. In fact, I just meant for those people that are holding out hope that Mac Jones will get in there. And look, the Stidham obstacle's still there, too. I'm just telling you that if Newton gets hurt, there's still a chance he could get in there. And I don't think Newton's playing 16 games. That's all. I'm talking about it from a topic perspective or anything of the like.
Well, no. I mean,
but that might be your best. If you want, my point is, if you want Jones to play this year, that might be your best chance.
Right. So I would agree with that because if we're talking about Bill and his decision-making, it's going to take a lot for him to play Mac Jones, I think. And to the point where, to start these camps and to start the year, he's going to be number three. You know he's going to be number three.
Oh, for sure. There's no way he'll put him at number two.
So what if Mac Jones has a slow camp? What if Mac Jones gets dinged up at camp? He's not in the best shape. I don't know if you've noticed this. And now he is number three, and now Cam Newton gets hurt in week two. It's Jared Stidham. And that'll be a hell of a matchup. Brady versus Stidham, that's great. Yes, Stu?
Do you think that Bill, on the fourth game, will ask the league to check the air pressure in Tom Brady's footballs?
Oh, my God, I love that.
No.
Oh, my God, I love that idea. Oh, I hope there's all kinds of crap that goes on like that. I told you, if I'm Bill and Brady needs like 302 yards to play that final game, seven defensive backs, hand it off.
You think Bill's going to walk out with the air pressure gauge?
You're not breaking the record here. I'll play freaking nine defensive backs if I have to.
Or is that still the ideal gas law? I'm confused.
You can run it up the middle all you want. Did Fournette resign there?
They're all bad.
Everybody did. I just didn't remember Fournette. He was the last one. So they're just going to hand it off. That's what I would do if I were Bill. Seven defensive backs. Maybe eight. Okay, Tom, hand it off all night. We'll let you beat a 17-3. You can pass for 182 yards. F off.
You know that's what Bill's going to do.
Definitely.
He's not going to let Brady have a night. He'll lose, but he's not going to let Brady be the reason.
That's totally what he'll do. Freaking McCourty. I was going to say Chung. Duggar.
Back.
J.C. Jackson. Gilmore. You guys are playing 100% of the snaps. Every one of you. Get in shape.
Money backer.
All right.
That is going to be great.
Final word comes your way next, folks.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. You there? Hello? All right, there we go. The last few calls in the prior...
Nobody, Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
No one, I said it.
Those last few calls in the prior segment were not great. But they were certainly a hell of a lot better than Grover, who called in the first hour with a slow-as-molasses take on Phil Kessel, I think.
Okay, Grover in the car on Taylor Hall. Hi, Grover.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Maz. How are you?
Good, man. What do you got?
So, interesting story. Back when Kessel came to Boston, Cam and Don asked me if I would be the host family for him as his rookie year. And I said, fine. I had two young daughters, and we said it'd be great. So he came and lived with us.
So you were the, what they call, billet?
Yeah, exactly. I was his billet. And we lived in Lincoln, and Cam was in Lincoln, and it worked out. It was okay. So... I watched a game once, and he never went into the corners ever. But one game I watched, and he made a classic Kessel move, which was an unbelievably great move, similar to
hey Grover
what Hall can do.
What's the point here?
So good, thank you. So the point is that Kessel, I asked him why he made the move. And he said, because my meter went up. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I gave a shit.
Okay, Grover, thanks for the call. At first, so that didn't air, obviously, because they had to drop that 20-second chunk. I was hoping he said ship.
That's what I thought he said, too.
S-H-I-P, yeah. Ship to shore. You know, I thought he was some sort of ship reference. Ships passing in the night or something. But nope, it was the give a ship. Yeah. You know.
So, good. Thanks. Thank you.
Meanwhile, he's in the drive-thru at the Chick-fil-A or so. You did.
So the point is that Kessel, I asked him why he made the move.
Yeah.
And he said, because my meter went up. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I gave a shit.
I like the beginning where they asked me, could you host him? I said, fine.
He felt like he's talking to his
back
wife.
When Kessel came to Boston... Cam and Don asked me if I would be the host family for him as his rookie year. And I said, fine.
Yeah, fine.
That's good part. It's like Cam and Don asked me, like, Because they're always asking. Those guys are always hitting me up for something.
Yeah. Could someone live with you? Yeah. Yeah, they asked me for my kidney.
Those
yeah.
Fine.
Thank you.
Gets his coffee from the Dunkin' drive-thru.
Seriously, what was with that guy?
The only good thing was his name. That's a cool name.
Grover?
Yeah, I'm a little old for it. I don't think it's going to happen, but if I ever have a son, I may name him Grover. That's a cool name.
That's an old dad name.
That is a name dripping with character is what that is.
Grover Felger?
Grover Felger.
Wouldn't work.
Grover, you know what? I'd make him the third, even though he's not. We'd make Grover Felger the third. That works.
Okay, so the third might help it. Grover Felger doesn't work.
Very little goes with Felger, I just got to tell you.
Yeah, the E-R-E-R.
You know, why do you think it's still Sarah Underwood? That's not by accident.
And he said, because my meter went out. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I gave a
Ay, ay, ay. All right, that did happen.
Buddy, could you pick up some milk on the way home?
Fine.
Also, further proof that anytime anyone starts a sentence with, interesting story, yeah,
it won't be.
Exactly. No, who gives a rat's ass?
Thank you. So the point is...
Here comes the baseball hour. What do you got, man?
Yeah, I was this billet. Red Sox have lost two straight against the A's. Frankly, I think they're getting exposed in this series, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, simple enough. 90 seconds, no commercials, then you get Maz. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 for an agenda-free Friday. We'll talk to everyone then.
Bye.
See ya. Cam and Don asked me if I would be the host family for him as his rookie year, and I said, fine.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.